I think that kind of practice could be really, really valuable to just stay ahead and, again, not fall behind, or just be trying to keep up with the trends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would be so cool if people were starting to think more that they could start being a part of creating these trends and moving forward that way.
Welcome back to Waves, powered by Arcade Studios, a show for marketers, creators, and entrepreneurs who want to stop chasing the tide and start making waves online. We're your hosts, Mike and Mitzi, and today we're joined by futurist and our very own creative director, Alyssa Juhas.
Alyssa is a hopeful designer and future thinker. She specializes in visual strategic design through a systems, futures, and human-centered perspective. Throughout her career, she has collaborated with exciting, innovative brands engaged in meaningful work, from online creators to Nike and the United Nations, helping them move from idea to a compelling result. Recently, Alyssa saw a way she could take her work to the next level. She returned to school and began studying a Master's of Design in Strategic Foresight and Innovation, which she recently graduated from. As a futurist, Alyssa researches topics around Web3, social media, the creator economy, and more to help businesses stay agile, community-oriented, and exciting. We are so lucky that she works with our team at Arcade as our creative director, and she's the mastermind behind Scan Club, which is something we're going to talk about in this episode. So welcome, Alyssa, to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to be here.
Yes, and congrats on finishing your master's. That's a huge accomplishment.
I know. I'm still...
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. It's so much work, but I did it, and it feels good.
And you did it. You've arrived into the future.
Yeah, it's the future.
Yeah, we're really excited for this. This is going to be a fun conversation. I'm excited to kind of break down what Scan Club is and also just help people understand how they can predict the future like you.
Not predict, but yeah. We'll talk about that later.
No, that's a classic misnomer.
You're good. It's good.
Yeah. I was going to say, one thing that people ask all the time is, how do we stay on top of the way, you know, this industry is evolving, especially in social media, when it feels like there's a new app all the time and strategies all the time and all these experts who are predicting the future, and obviously new technology that kind of changes all that too. So this has been our answer to how we stay ahead as best as we can, thanks to your guidance. So we're super excited to talk about this, and I think it'll be a really good episode for anyone who works in social or any type of digital marketing, because it helps you kind of like figure out how to think about it instead of just trying to stay ahead or keep up. It's like, it's more about like critical thinking on the things that you're already watching and already consuming. So I'm really excited to get to share that with people.
100%. And Alyssa, you've been on the show before, so you're no stranger to our loyal listeners, but why don't you just recap? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background training to become a futurist, and we can go from there.
My undergrad is in design, visual communications. I've been practicing that for like 10, 15 years as a designer, art director, working with all kinds of brands. For the last 10 plus years, I've kind of been doing my own thing as a consultant, freelancer, solopreneur, all the words that you can throw at that. I've always been very curious about what's happening in the world, what is around us, and not just creating solutions for the now, but trying to really think about where we're going and are these solutions going to be relevant even, I don't know, in a month from now, in a year from now, in 5 years from now. So I've always sort of been trying to keep my ear and my brain on the pulse of what's happening. And I knew I wanted to get my master's. It was more of like a bucket list thing that I wanted to check off. I found this program that would take my visual design and creative thinking and merge it with sort of more business, future thinking, systems thinking, strategy. And I just thought it was like a really cool addition to what I've already been practicing. And yeah, so I jumped into that, and 3 years later, I am now graduated and have been working. Like, the really exciting thing is, even throughout my master's, I was able to start consulting in the strategy and innovation and futures projects, which has only like added to the knowledge that I've been able to gain. So yeah.
Love it. For those of our listeners who don't know what a futurist is, and I include myself in that because until we chatted, I had no idea what that even meant. Mm. Could you give us like a little synopsis of what that is?
Yeah. So there's different ways to sort of practice. And like it comes down to being like a foresight practitioner. That's kind of another word that you can use to it. But it's about thinking about possible futures or futures that are happening. So there's all different methods and different frameworks and different ways that you can be doing this. But it's about looking at what's happening now, pinpointing signals that can move to trends, that can move to drivers, and starting to see what are these possible futures that could happen. And then when you're working with businesses or clients or big problems, it's putting those problems in those possible futures and seeing, okay, what do we need to do now that so that we won't fall behind in those futures, so that we can also be aware of what's happening, so that, you know, if there's four possible futures potentially and we start to see that the world is going that way, what can we do to like bring us back to a more preferred future? Or what do we need to do, say, in our own strategies to adjust to what's happening? So it's just starting to have that future-proof mentality.
I think that's so interesting because I feel like a lot of, especially in the business and marketing space, a lot of brands will establish a strategy based on the current reality. I feel like social media has kind of conditioned brands to think that way. And sometimes you get lucky and that strategy works for a while, just because things don't change that rapidly. But other times things are changing really rapidly. And there's a variety, like you said, of different scenarios that could become reality.
Yeah.
And so I love the idea of thinking, having longer term thinking when you establish a strategy, but also playing through different scenarios and almost having a variety of different strategic pathways that prepare us for multiple outcomes.
Yeah.
I think that's so important.
Yeah. And the cool part too is say you have those four possible futures, like running your strategy through them, through all four. And then, or if you have multiple ideas for a strategy or multiple thoughts, running all of them through, and then whichever one performs the best in all those different scenarios would be the one that you would want to probably run with. Or at least it would validate sort of the direction of why you're doing what you're doing. So it's like, there's so many different ways that you can use it, but it definitely helps for even confidence in how to move forward.
Yeah. I think that's a really cool clarification there, because the way I was thinking of it was almost like having a few different strategies for different outcomes. But what you're saying is actually, it could still just be one strategy, but you've vetted it across multiple outcomes to ensure that either way it's going to be productive and sustainable.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But maybe we can get a little bit more practical and talk about how we even like start to see possible futures and the word that you use to describe it is scanning. Can you help us understand what scanning is and why it matters?
Yeah. So I think even when we started right now talking about possible futures and scenarios, that can feel really daunting. And that's maybe not for just anyone to jump into. It takes a lot of like time and effort and knowledge and like kind of knowing what you're doing. It's not too technical, but still it can feel really big. But scanning is really the foundation of future thinking. So it's like looking out at the world and it's starting to pinpoint things that are happening that are surprising and current and specific that can impact what you're doing. And it really ends up being more of a muscle that you're building, of an exercise that's helping you just look at the world differently. Because we're obviously, like, especially with social media, we're all taking in so much information all the time, but we might not be asking the questions of this information that's coming in to our brains and asking it, okay, like, what's happening here? What's changing? Why does it matter? And that's sort of what scanning is and why we've been working with the team, is to just start really dissecting what all this information that we're getting and kind of putting it into buckets and trying to see the patterns that are emerging. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit in a nutshell what scanning is.
Yeah. So then you're scanning and like analyzing, and then when you notice something that's surprising, current, or what was the other one? Surprising, current.
Specific.
Or specific. Mm-hmm. That's what you would call a signal. And yeah. Then, so like, how does someone spot a signal? Like if they're consuming content, or like if they're on TikTok, for example, like how are ways that people can kind of like turn their brain or start like flexing that muscle of looking for signals?
Yeah, like the beauty is that you can see or spot a signal anywhere. Like a signal can be a news article or like a headline. It could be in a tweet. It could be an event. It could be like a product. It could even be a TikTok, like just even maybe like a something that's happening in the TikTok. So, but you begin to ask questions of what you're seeing. So what's changing here? Why does it matter? And what could happen next? And that will help you kind of understand what the signal is. But the main, or like the thing that you want to kind of look at with a signal is that there's some sort of directionality. So it could be that it is going up, or something's going down, or something's increasing, something's decreasing. There's like some sort of movement happening. And that will really help you start to understand, okay, there's something changing here. Something's happening, whether it's positive or negative or something else. And you can kind of start to see, okay, something's moving, something's changing. And that might be just like a really weak signal, but as you continue to scan and continue to do this over like the long term, you can start to see, okay, signals are bunching together and more things are changing and this is continuing to change. And that can just tell you that this is like an important thing to keep watching.
I have a question on top of that. That's super helpful. I love the directionality and the movement piece of it. I feel like that helps really like visualize what that could mm-hmm. look like. I've always kind of wondered, could a signal happen in conversation? Like, does it have to be documented in like text or like visually, or could it be that in conversations with clients or team members or even just people in your circles, there's like a topic that keeps coming up that has directionality or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. The beauty of scanning is that it's not a science. It really is an art form. So there's not like, it's a lot of like trusting your gut or like following your gut and less of like, this is scientifically proven. The beauty is that we want to validate it over the long run, over like maybe the metrics are there, or if, again, as you said, if you're like talking in conversation, then maybe you'll validate that with a headline down the road or a study that is happening down the road or something like that, or like other things that you're seeing. But yeah, definitely. Like even being able to have the practice of like writing those things down and starting to document kind of like what you're starting to see, having a notebook, jotting things down. If you're hearing like everyone's talking about this, what's happening here? Why, like, again, those questions that I said, like, why does this matter? What could happen next? I think just having that curiosity around like anything that you're starting to like see as emerging, I think is really valuable in general, whether it's ends up being a trend or not. I think it's a really great practice to start to get into, because obviously not every signal and everything that you document and are interested in will turn into a trend, but it's just that act, like if you're not doing it, you maybe won't pick up on the one that is going to be really important to you in the future.
Mm-hmm. Cool. One quick follow-up question I had from something you said a bit earlier was, as you start to recognize signals as you're scanning and just kind of becoming more aware of what's happening around you, you mentioned categorizing them and starting to put them into buckets. Can you help clarify a little bit more about like what constitutes a bucket and how you properly categorize signals?
in foresight practice, we often use STEEP V, which is like just a framework. Basically, it's social, technological, economic, environmental values. Political. I can spell. Nice. Yeah, all the letters. And then sometimes we throw in legal too. So, but basically what that is just you can start to throw your signals into those categories, and it just starts to show like what is happening. So if a signal is in tech, and then it starts, something similar starts to emerge in political, say, or something starts to emerge in economic and values, that's starting to show that this signal is moving from a weaker signal to something that you should really start to pay attention to. Something that's all within one like realm or sector isn't as strong as something that starts to move into all different areas of like society. Cool. So once it starts to move, like we even saw that say with like AI, it was kind of just in tech, and then it started to move in political and then in legal and in economic, and like things were just, it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we can talk about that later, but that's when you're like, okay, it's not just this small signal anymore. It's starting to move into like a bigger trend and maybe even like driving other things as well.
Yeah. That's such a cool, I think it's just such a fascinating way to look at the world and just to be like a bit more conscious about what you're drawn to and why you're drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that exercise as a team. So Alyssa's been taking us through this thing that we called Scan Club, where we identify and look for signals. And we do that as a team every 2 weeks and kind of chat through it. And we are specifically looking for digital marketing related signals. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, Alyssa, do you kind of touched on those different categories. If you're looking for a specific type of signal, say you're like working social media or you work in advertising or something, should you look at other industries for signals as well? Like, I know you mentioned that if they're in different, in like, I guess, categories, that's when it emerges into a larger trend. But if someone specifically, like even us, we're working in digital marketing, do you recommend looking around outside of our industry for signals?
Yeah, 100%. Say if we're only reading newsletters about social media, like that's just one perspective and one worldview or one area. Whereas like we start to understand, especially in like systems thinking, that we're all connected. So things that are happening in economics, things that are happening in the political landscape, things that are even happening environmentally start to impact us. Like everything is connected, and whether it's like smaller, like something big happening in say environmental might take a little bit of time to get to say things that are happening in social or in tech, but it's all connected. Things are happening. So even like say climate change and all of that, that's like such a big thing, and it still is impacting like climate anxiety, and people are, their values are changing, and even how we show up economically in terms of like sustainability, and then even maybe how we're showing up socially is changing because of that too. So it is super important to look not just maybe in the things that you're like most comfortable in, but to look broader because everything is connected. Does that answer the question? Does that help?
Totally. Yeah, I think it's an important thing to like get outside of our bubble too. Cause like I think as marketing practitioners, we like invest so much of our time and attention reading things and like subscribing to everything. Yeah. But just it's nice to think about maybe stepping outside of that a little bit and considering the larger culture, like what are people thinking about, you know, and it's likely stuff we're also thinking about. We don't remember to connect the two to our work, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. what's happening and what are we conscious about? And maybe it's like, I don't know, like cost of groceries, like how is that connected to our work? We don't really make that connection, but maybe there is something that we should be paying attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And it also comes down to like audience too. So especially for digital marketers, we're really speaking human to human or like to other humans, and to understand sort of what we're all dealing with, what your demographic is dealing with, also helps with like tone of voice and even the content, not being tone deaf in what you're, you know, posting about or the content you're putting out, I think is like really important to be be more open to sort of a larger, wider, wider knowledge set or information coming in too.
I think that's a great segue because we've been kind of talking about individually, like mm-hmm. personally, what can we do to start recognizing signals and categorizing them and things like that. But right at the beginning, we alluded to like brand strategy and stuff like that. So I'd love to hear from you a little bit more about how do we start to make those connections? If someone from, or a group of people from a brand are starting to put this into practice and want it to inform some of their strategic thinking or decisions, what does that process look like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really is much different. I think the key though is to come together. So yes, you can for sure do this individually, but the beauty of what we're even doing with Arcade at Scan Club is it's our whole group coming together. And that also helps with bias. So it's huge, like it can be a huge issue, you know, like Mitzi, you were saying, if you're only reading the same things or looking at the same sources, you're kind of only going to get that one perspective. But once you look outside of that, so not only individually should your practice be to try to look, you know, in a wider range of perspectives and sources and be following people that are different than you, that are thinking different, that are in different sectors, but then also to be getting together, talking about these signals with other people. So it shouldn't be scanning, for sure can be done individually. And I know that not everyone has like a team or a bunch of people, but the beauty of when you can get together with your team, with your group of colleagues and look at these signals together, start to understand, get different perspectives, like the questions of like, what's changing, why this matters, what could happen next could be very different to me when I'm looking at something versus to you, Mitzi, and to you, Mike, and like anyone else. So I think the main thing that I would say is like, it's really exciting if a brand starts to do this because they're not just being reactionary. They're trying to be proactive, trying to understand what's happening in the industry, what's changing, how the world is changing, but then doing it together. So not having, you know, your own bias, having different perspectives, and it just becomes like a lot more holistic and just like has better depth to the signals as well.
Yeah. I'm smiling as I'm thinking about it, because I do certainly recall like, or even around specific signals at different times when we've come together as a team, that sometimes we're all aligned and it's like, yeah, that does mean that. But other times you can kind of see polar opposite perspectives on what it actually means, or if it's a threat or if it's an opportunity and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's cool to kind of have seen that in action mm-hmm. for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. We've talked about Scan Club a little bit, and I'm curious if you can share like what would be like knowing what the knowledge you have around this practice and like being forward and future thinking and, you know, your work at Arcade, which is focused on digital marketing, and a lot of our listeners are in digital marketing in some form or another. And how do you hope, like, what's the ideal marriage of like what you have been trained to do as a futurist and how it can apply to digital marketers? Because the way we've adapted it is through Scan Club, which is our bi-weekly opportunity to share and talk about scans. But if someone's listening and you talked about like talking about what you're watching and the signals you're seeing, what's like ideally how the way that people should kind of like practice this on their own?
Well, I think I'm also learning more about what it looks like in this, like to use future thinking in like digital marketing, because it moves so fast. I think it's so important that we're doing this work, but also like, you know, the industry is just like waiting for no one. It is just running people over and you have to keep up. But I do think it's just really important to start doing this even just individually, like even in who you follow, like being more curated with that, and starting to maybe like create, you know, a Google Sheet or something, a spreadsheet, a Notion to just be collecting these, I think is really a valuable practice to start. And then I think doing this, you know, we started biweekly. I think we were like really energetic about that. But even just like once a month, every 6 weeks, coming together as a team and then pulling all of these signals together. And maybe it's like every 3 months, every 6 months, pulling all of the signals together and then starting to group, notice patterns, notice what is starting to happen. And then maybe even like looking at your strategies, looking at the content you're putting out. And is this like in line with kind of where things are headed, the little like surprising and current things that are emerging? Or, hey, do we need to like tweak something? Is our tone of voice right for this client? You know, I don't know, we're in the beauty industry, like XYZ isn't really as current anymore. And there's something happening over here. Should we like go more in that direction? I think that kind of practice could be really, really valuable to just stay ahead and again, not fall behind or just be trying to keep up with the trends. You know, it would be mm-hmm. so cool if people were starting to think more that they could start being a part of creating these trends and moving forward that way.
Yeah, I think that's like best case scenario. Yes, is like, how sure. can we be the ones that are like, based on what we're seeing yeah. over here and over here, this is what we should be standardizing and this is the way forward on social yeah. or how to apply this in like a TikTok video or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we've learned so much as a team about this. And just like, I think one thing that might help people better understand this is just getting some examples. So what trends have we noticed or even signals that we've identified that could lead or that have led to future trends? And maybe can you walk us through like what our process was for arriving there?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the big ones that was kind of, it was pretty exciting because we just started in, I think it was September of 2022, starting Scan Club. And we started to like be just pulling signals around AI. And it was like it was not in the mainstream at that point. It was mostly, if we look back, mostly in the tech world, like that was the, or like if we're looking at those categories of the steep V, it was really just in tech that things were starting to emerge in terms of like funding was starting to be put into AI. There was like little murmurs of just really like emergent parts of AI, but didn't feel as accessible. So like, I don't know, like deep fake stuff that was just like, okay, this is like fringe, but something's happening here. And then as we like continued on, there was just like more and more starting to happen. And they were like moving outside of just tech. So some of them were talking about, you know, is AI going to take my job? So like moving into like more economic and even starting to look at like values, like around, is this safe? Is this a good thing for like society? Those type of things were starting to emerge. And then by December, I don't know if everyone remembers, but like ChatGPT, it like just went wild. Everyone was playing on it. At Christmas with their families, like everyone was on it. And so it was really interesting to see that like slow, those very weak signals sort of emerge into like, this is bigger, this is mainstream now. And I would say by now, like AI is probably looked at more as a driver or like as a very like emergent trend and less as a signal. So it's now pushing other, like in terms of like legal and political, like everyone's grappling with it. So that was a really, really fun one for the team to kind of see how it went from like 0 to 100 in the last like 8 months.
That was fun.
Yeah, for sure. We didn't predict that, but it was cool for us to be able to like start by recognizing it as a signal and like start to see patterns emerge and then it become a trend. And now, like you said, maybe even more so a driver. And that was probably the first time we've seen something from like follow that whole cycle. And I feel like for anyone who's listening who starts to try this like scanning and recognizing signals, I think that'll be when it finally all starts to make more sense, is when you can actually see something from the signal stage through to a trend or a driver level as far as the evolution goes. Mm-hmm. At least it helped me for sure to really see mm-hmm. that process take place. Yeah.
Totally. And then another one that I feel like we talked about a little bit, but it had like almost the opposite opposite path movement. Than yeah. AI is like the metaverse. And didn't we talk NFTs. A lot about NFTs? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was so interesting because it was so hot. And then you see signals like how Facebook kind of like is starting to move away from Meta and NFTs not having as much value or demand anymore. And I'd say those are signals too. So mm-hmm. when you're looking at signals, like I know you've mentioned, like there has to be movement. So it's not just like what's coming up, but also what's
definitely
might be becoming less important.
Yeah, pulling out of the funding, brands not being as excited. It's so interesting. That one's still, it's still like there, but it's just, it wasn't the hype. Like AI definitely took over that hype and actually sort of followed through. I think as soon as it could get mainstream and people could start using it a lot more like accessibly, that's when it got really exciting. But even
mm-hmm. I feel like,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I feel like with NFTs too, because you said like it's kind of still there, and I totally agree mm-hmm. with you, and it could pick up momentum again. But I feel like part of the deceleration with that is also like legal and ethical matters, because I feel like there's a lot of news in a period of time of even individuals who were in leadership or employed at like some of the bigger platforms like OpenSea or stuff like that, who were like almost manipulating markets or like taking advantage of markets and insider information to then like capitalize on profits of buying and selling NFTs. And I think when people see that, they just kind of like shy away, feeling like it's just not regulated and they could lose something or it's not safe or whatever it might be. So maybe as it like further evolves and develops and gets more adoption and has less ethical issues, there'll be some momentum again.
Yeah. Which will also be really interesting with AI, because more and more articles seem to be coming out as well with like, the moral responsibility, and like the godfather of AI just came out with like, I don't want anything to do with this. What have I done? So all of that is just really interesting to see what could happen next with it. But I did want
to... I wonder if we'll see a similar deceleration. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Sorry. I keep continuing my thought. But the one thing I did want to say with AI, what was cool in terms of our team is that we jumped on it, like practicing it or like testing out AI platforms. I don't know if we were earlier than most people, but I think our team and even like Mike and Mitzi, you as leadership, were a lot more interested in our team seeing, okay, like how will this help our processes, or like how can this benefit our team in terms of like productivity or like not spending time on the things that they don't need to spend time on. So I do think that even if you look at sort of scanning and Scan Club, like it did impact even what we were doing at Arcade, whether even if we weren't necessarily using AI to like create, I don't know, whatever you can create with it, but we were still using it on the back end and like playing with it and testing it out as a team. I think potentially earlier than a lot of digital marketers. I'm not sure, but it was pretty cool how there was a lot of buy-in from the team because of that.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like the way we viewed it too was more as a catalyst rather than like replacing anything. Yeah. And it's from what I've read, it kind of seems like the major risks with AI seem to be if we want to have it like operate almost autonomously, you know, like to actually replace job functions or to like make strategic decisions or solve problems. And it certainly has the power to do that. But I think the risks, even just with how rapidly it can learn and reproduce and things like that, is when we give it too much autonomy. So something to think about. But also what I was going to say is I wonder with all the negative media around the risks, if it will almost follow a similar trajectory to the metaverse and NFTs and stuff like that until there can be more regulation and more examples of ways that we're kind of like reining it in. Because we have the godfather of AI talking about it, but also now even the CEO of OpenAI, which is the company that owns ChatGPT, mm-hmm. he's now talking about the risks too. Right. But there's also like weird history with that company too, where it started as a nonprofit and people like Elon donated hundreds of millions of dollars to it. And then they overnight at one point became a profitable company and none of those donors had any share in it, you know? So there's just these like strange happenings in the back end and weird trajectories that make you kind of question it and shy away from it.
And I'm pretty sure President Biden like recently has started publicly saying that he wants to see more regulation happening with AI. So I wonder if that's going to like start more conversations around that too, about just having some sort of regulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I even saw some people on Twitter talking about how it seems like overnight ChatGPT got dumber. And they're starting to think that maybe OpenAI had like changed the model to like simplify it, to like minimize risk. So it's not actually working the same way that it was before either.
Yeah.
So even stuff like that, if suddenly ChatGPT doesn't work the same way as we're accustomed to, it's going to be less useful and people are going to abandon it. And like we said, it could decelerate. It's interesting.
I want to ask you, Alyssa, about predictions. Like there's a lot of people in our industry who are predicting the future of social media, are predicting like there's these predictions, there's like whole newsletters and social accounts around it. Can you explain the difference between like what predictions are and what scanning and signals and this like future thinking like framework is?
Yeah, I'll definitely try. I think like in general, going through school, learning from foresight and practitioners, futurists, we would never say that we're predicting the future because there's so many possible futures. And there's a really great quote, and I totally forget it, but it kind of just talks about how the future is even like happening right now. We just haven't been able to see it yet. Or like as soon as you can kind of see it, then you'll understand kind of the future's happening before you, basically. Anyway, I can find that quote. But we're less like predicting and more trying to see like there's so many possible ways. And like that's the exciting part is we can be a part of creating, you know, preferred futures, futures that are going to help everyone, futures that are going to be better for society, for people. Or it can go the other way, too. And there's all these like decisions and things that you need to, that we make as humans, as people, as brands, as businesses that can either fall into any of those different futures. So it's less about like predicting and more about being really more like through scanning, you just become more aware of what's happening in front of you. There can be many different futures even happening. And it just depends on like which ones we want to actually foster and push forward. However, scanning and signals and trends definitely help us not necessarily predict. And I know a lot of people use that. I think I'm just like wary because going through school and sort of trying to understand like the lingo and the technical terms and the frameworks, I just like would never want to promise that. We're not trying to be psychics. We're really trying to use what's in front of us to sort of understand what's happening next. But scanning and looking at signals and looking at trends, when you pull those trends together and you start to look at them critically about like what's changing, what could happen next, what's moving here, if we put these, you know, three trends together, five trends, 20 trends, you know, what future could this happen if they all accelerate or if they all decelerate or if this one really goes wild and this one doesn't, like that's more what we're trying to look at. But I do think trends start to show us what is possible and what could happen. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but,
no, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more about like not waiting for someone to tell you this is the prediction and future of, you know, social media, but it's more like taking inventory of what's happening and just being more critical about how things are evolving so that you can like be part of defining that for, you know, this next wave of like content creators and marketers. Like it's not, it doesn't have to be something that's prescribed to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say even everyone that is like putting out the trend reports and like predicting the future of marketing, they're really only using what is in front of them as well. And so their prediction is just as good as anyone else's that's maybe out there scanning and trying to like pinpoint the patterns. What they're doing is really just pinpointing patterns and starting to see like what's emerging and, you know, where's the hype, where's the buzz, where's the movement. And then they're pulling that together. And again, using probably their gut along with like validating it as well. But I mean, like even the pandemic, no one, people in the Foresight community had talked, like that was a scenario of like a pandemic, a world pandemic that had been talked about for years, even in science fiction books, different things like that. But no one was really, a lot of people's strategies never had that in mind. And so when something so big that is like a wild card scenario that no one could really predict, but people had, no one could think that that could happen. If you haven't even thought about that, if you don't have even a strategy in your back pocket of like, okay, I can't even talk to people anymore. I can't leave my house. I can't X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? So there's some of the, that's kind of also what future thinking can really help with in terms of scenarios, is being ready for those big moments that no one can technically predict, but they can still happen.
It was unprecedented. Yeah, for sure.
Unprecedented. Oh, that word.
Yeah, and almost the more we talk about it, the more it kind of feels like it's a more of a posture thing, like preparing for things rather than predicting them. And
yeah,
I think it's good to kind of have that posture shift, because a lot of times I feel like even if we can kind of see a future coming, sometimes we want to just resist it or kind of live in denial that it's not going to happen. Even a really simple example is when Instagram started to prioritize social video over like photos and stuff like that. You know, right. Like I feel like we heard about it for a long time that it was going to happen. And they tried IGTV and then started to introduce Reels after TikTok came onto the scene. And I feel like a lot of people, even marketers, were like, no, like we want photos, you know, like this is a photo app. And people were in a posture of resistance, even though they saw it coming. So even just changing that to a posture of preparation so that we see it coming in instead, we're like, okay, how do we start actually like working these muscles now and adapt our systems to accommodate video instead of photo? And we still see brands and agencies and marketers still now, years into social video being a really the primary thing, still trying to figure out how to make it work for their businesses or for their clients and stuff. So I think that's really important. Alyssa, we're getting close to the end here, but I want to ask for any listeners that are really intrigued by this and want to learn more and even start to practice this themselves, like where do they learn more about this and how can they just start putting it into motion in their own time?
Oh, yeah. Do you have like notes after, or like I can pull some resources? I don't know any of them like necessarily off the top of my head. There's a really good book called How to Future that I would recommend. That's like very much in like easy, accessible language. But I think that what I would really recommend is just jumping in and starting to I'm sure your audience is already already having so much information put at them. They're consuming it. They're into it all the time, but you're not necessarily, documenting that. And so I would recommend starting to just, as you're, you know, on say Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, reading the news in the morning, whatever you're doing. If there's even one a day that is just like, oh, there's something really interesting here, and just throwing it in your notes app or wherever you want to document it. And then starting to look at the patterns, like maybe, you know, once a month, you just like review it and start to do that. I think would be really a really great practice, just like starting to use that scanning muscle and asking yourself, what's changing? Why does this matter? And what could happen next? I think that'd be really great to start doing that with all the information you're already consuming.
Love it. And spoiler alert, we might have a newsletter coming soon. Mitzi, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'll take this opportunity to do a shameless plug. We will have a newsletter called Scan Club, and we're going to start sharing some of the things that we're scanning. So things that are surprising, current, have movement, things like that. We'll start compiling them for you. So if you want to subscribe to that, you can find links in our show notes as well.
Let's go. And Alyssa, one question we always ask our guests, and you know this because you've been here before, we like to talk about who's making waves right now. I wondered for this specific topic, if you wanted to even like, if there's futurists that you follow or people in the space that would be worth subscribing to or talking about, maybe we can take it from that angle.
Yeah, definitely. Mitzi and I both love them, but Sinead Bovell, I think that's how you say their name, is a futurist on TikTok, Instagram, I think as well. And they're really in the tech, and they're talking so much about AI actually right now, and all the tech, emerging tech trends, and what to kind of keep on the pulse of. So I would definitely recommend them. They're really great how they talk about it. And I believe she's even Canadian too, which I love. And I think she's connected awesome. To the school I went to as well, which is kind of fun. So yeah, they're definitely someone I would watch.
Perfect. Well, this was fun. I think we can wrap it there. But Alyssa, thanks for joining us again for the three-peat. And if you're listening and you haven't heard the past episodes with Alyssa, definitely go back into the archives and enjoy. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Waves. If you enjoyed this episode, you can hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow along on social at Hello Arcade. We'll see you next time.